Well, welcome once again to our weekly Sunday morning recordings. Today is the second Sunday of Pentecost, and our lessons for today are Exodus chapter 19, verses 2 to 8a. So that's the first half of verse 8. Psalm 100, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 8, and then Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to chapter 10, verse 8. These are lessons that highlight God's saving work in the lives of his people and his call for them to live in obedience to him. In Exodus 19, God reminds Israel of how he bore them on eagle's wings out of the land of their slavery, Egypt, and now has called them to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That is, that they will mediate God's holiness to the nations around them. They will be the flesh and blood example of God's character to others. In our Romans lesson, Paul reminds us that we are justified or made right with God by faith, not through anything that we can do ourselves. In fact, even when we were unrighteous, rebellious, and sinful, God loved us so much that Jesus was willing to die for us, sinners and enemies of God. And in our gospel text, we see the compassion of Jesus for us on display in his ministry of healing and deliverance. And again, his call to his disciples to carry out that work among those who are in need. He says that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, and so we are to pray for workers for the harvest fields. As always, I'll invite you to pause and take the time to read these lessons before you listen to the rest of this message. Well, my dad tells a story of when he was a teenager and having been given the job of cleaning up the yard where his family lived. For a number of years, his family lived on an acreage in the Lower Mainland. And so that October day in 1972, when his parents went out, he cleaned up the acreage yard, raked up a bunch of leaves, and then was left with a decision. How was he supposed to get rid of all these leaves that he had just raked? Well, he came up with an idea, piled the leaves in a big pile, and then lit them on fire to burn them up. And you can probably guess how this story goes. The fire got away on him and started to move across the acreage towards some sheds. Later that day, my grandparents returned home with their groceries to find three fire trucks in the yard. And thankfully, not much property destroyed. It certainly could have been a lot worse. Have you ever had a fire get away on you? It would be pretty frightening. We have a similar story from just last month. One day I got home from work to fire trucks going mock speed through the field behind our house. Someone had lit a fire in a ring in the bushes to the west of us, and it got away from them. It spread pretty good, but fortunately mostly just burned up dead grass, along with a few trees and a couple of fence posts. Fire can get away on you pretty quick if you're not careful, and of course, if it's got lots of fuel to burn up. Our gospel lesson today is a lesson about mission and ministry. Jesus says to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." This is a missions text, an evangelism text. Just like last Sunday when we heard the Great Commission, Jesus calling his followers to go and make disciples of all nations. Now these words, mission and evangelism, perhaps aren't the most popular words today. They might bring to mind images of abuse or discomfort for people. We might think, do I have to stand up in front of a crowd and preach? Will I have to tell my friends what to do and how to live? Well, as Christians, it's important that we be honest about the mistakes of the past and seek to move forward in humility and with a listening ear so as to restore trust with others and build genuine conversations concerning matters of faith. But simply because we've made mistakes in the past doesn't mean that we should abandon mission and evangelism altogether. But instead, those words need to be redeemed through loving and compassionate approaches with others, as Jesus approached others. We need mission, in fact, and we need evangelism within the church. There's a church theologian who once said, "Mission does not arise from any arrogance in the Christian church. Mission is its cause and its life. The church exists by mission, just as a fire exists by burning. Where there is no mission, there is no church. And where there is neither church nor mission, there is no faith. Take the fuel away from the fire, and the fire dies out. Take mission and evangelism from the church, and the church dies out too, because mission and evangelism are crucial to the life of the church. But like those grass fires, if they have fuel to burn, they will spread." Well, contrary to popular belief, the life of the church doesn't pass on and spread through child rearing and big families. Having lots of babies won't keep the church going. Instead, the church is called to reach out to others. Mission and evangelism are needed because the world is broken and hurting and in need. Jesus looked at the crowds around him and had compassion on them because he saw their hopelessness. He saw their illnesses. He saw their deep need. And he responded. When we see and acknowledge our brokenness, the brokenness of our world, we rightfully want to do something about it. There's been a lot going on lately about racial injustice in our society, people angry about it and speaking up, and rightfully so. Now the focus is shifting towards anger about police violence and people getting people speaking up about that, and rightfully so. Whenever we see injustice, hurts, and wrongs done, there's something within us that wants to respond, wants to do something about it. And that's a good thing. We must be careful, though, that we don't begin to think that our activism justifies us, where we move from issue to issue, thinking more and more that we are more righteous because of our concerns. And don't get me wrong, the issues are important, and they do need to be addressed. There's a danger that we can believe the more woke we are to the issues of the world, the more justified we are. And so we start to play a game in which we compete against one another, proving our justification as people against others who are backwards from us or who aren't as concerned about the issues. We want to look good, to look justified in front of other people. And this is a basic human tendency because we have a basic human assumption that when there's hurt and brokenness within us, or in those around us, that we can fix it, that we can rise above it, that we can eradicate it. Well, Jesus looks on the crowds with compassion because he knows that we are like sheep without a shepherd. And then he starts healing and casting out demons and raising the dead. Healing always comes from without, not from within. And this is the beauty of Paul's message to us in Romans, that since we have been justified by faith, he says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Paul is describing the healing that comes to humanity through Jesus, not through ourselves. Healing always comes from without. Like the Israelites, we have been swept up by God on eagle's wings and made his own, rescued out of the land of our slavery. Not because we were concerned about the environment or gender equality or race equality, because let's face it, we weren't. No, Jesus saved us and justified us while we were still sinners through his death and resurrection. There's a name in the Bible for all of these big issues in our world, powers and principalities, and they hold us in their grasp. We're sinful, and that's why we're racist, sexist, greedy, jealous, insecure, depressed, using too much styrofoam, whatever it is. And Jesus overcame the power of those things in the world through his death and resurrection. And at the same time, justifies us, makes us right with him through faith in his victory for us on the cross. He saves us from the guilt of being complicit with and participating in the unjust systems of our world. And he saves us from the idea that we're better than others for our righteous views concerning these issues. When we consider all of these powers and principalities that continue to hold our world in hostage, we may feel like sheep without a shepherd. But as our psalmist writes, it is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. This is what launches us into activism. Love, not need to position ourselves above others or to justify ourselves. Jesus then calls and sends His disciples to do the very things He was doing, proclaiming the good news of the gospel, healing the hurts of the world, announcing that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He calls us to fuel the fire of the church through mission and evangelism. He calls us to pray for laborers in the harvest fields. There's a great word in this text, compassion. Jesus had compassion on the crowds that He saw. Our English word compassion comes from Latin, meaning to suffer with. There's a suffering component to mission. We suffer with others in their hurts and hardships. That's compassion. And Paul reminds us that while we do so, suffering leads to endurance, which leads to character, which leads to hope, the hope of our eternal deliverance in Jesus. And it reminds us that Jesus is the God who suffers with us. But not only does He suffer with us, He suffered for us. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This changes everything. It liberates us from the pressure of having to meet some bar of righteous expectation and allows us to instead compassionately live and freely love others in Jesus' name, since we've freely received all this from Him. Mission and ministry in Jesus' name is our calling, and it is the fuel that fires the life of the church. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your faithfulness to us each and every day. You have rescued us out of the land of our slavery, the various things that have held us captive, and You've made us Your own people. And as You've done so, You've given us a calling to live for You, to be priests of Your kingdom, mediating Your truth and Your goodness to the world around us. Lord, we haven't always done a very good job of that. We get distracted, we get caught up in our own things, and we've neglected that calling. And so we ask for Your forgiveness and Your grace to be extended towards us. You've called us to a life of ministry, a life of serving others, a life of compassion and love, a life of proclaiming Your gospel and evangelism, of mission. And we know that Your church only lives by this activity. So we ask and pray and beg for Your Holy Spirit to be at work in our hearts, renewing us, fueling us to engage in these activities, that we might fuel the life of the church through them. Lord, we do pray for our world. It is a world of brokenness, a world held captive by powers and principalities, and we see the evidence of that all over around us. Lord, we ask that You would release us from the power of these things. And thank You that You have released us from this power through the death and resurrection of Your Son, Jesus. We don't fully live and walk into that freedom until the day in which we will be with You for eternity. But even now, Your kingdom is at hand, and we get glimpses of that freedom on earth. And we pray that You would use us as Your church to share those glimpses with others, to embody them with others, that more and more people might come to know You. In Your name we pray. Amen.